And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
It's war against the police, isn't it? A police officer was stabbed at the Michigan airport, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Of course, you know, the mainstream media is going to play that down. We don't have a problem with Muslims, do we? No, of course not. It's headlining right now in Drudge, police officer stabbed at Michigan airport. And folks, look, this is something right now that these lone wolf terror attacks will cause more disruption across the United States, I believe, and I think I can see this going in. I could just see this just really expanding, incredibly expanding. The nature of the attacks, the number of the attacks. Folks, you're listening to the Hagmann and Hagmann Report. Today is June 21st, the first day of summer 2017. As we get into the news and information, our website, HagmannReport.com, is down at the moment. And we do have some issues with that. We are looking at how to fix that. We do have a ticket into our server, web host, that is. We hope to be back up here within an hour or two. So there are some issues there. We're suffering from some attacks, but I don't believe the reason our site is down. I don't believe that. Okay, the site's up now? All right, it just came up. I do believe that was a traffic issue as opposed to and a server issue as opposed to an attack. HagmannReport.com, of course, HomelandSecurityUS.com will be coming back to life, as I had mentioned before, and Hagmann and Hagmann Report, or Hagmann and Hagmann.com for this show. Of course, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Just go to our YouTube channel. Just go to HagmannReport.com. Click on the link to our YouTube channel. There you can subscribe. And I'll be checking in with Coast to Coast AM tonight with George Norrie for the news segment to discuss this attack at the Michigan airport. And I do believe that, folks, again, we're going to see more and more of this as the days, weeks, and months go on. And I don't think that this is going to be reversed. And the mainstream media, excuse me, is going to be talking less about this. And this does play into a couple of things that over the last couple of days, Joe, that we were talking about the apologists for the Muslims and about the interfaith, this coexist. It's all a lie. There is no coexistence possible with Islam, between Islam and Christianity. In fact, there's no coexistence possible with the West and Islam, in my personal opinion, based on everything that we've heard from IQ El Razuli, Brandon House, and of course, Randall Terry and others. There is absolutely no way of a peaceful coexistence with a Muslim who believes in the Quran, the Hadith, and the Surahs. Okay. So we're going to be seeing this more and more. And I do want people to really understand that we are looking at these situations with a very critical eye and watching and anticipating these to develop across the United States. I would recommend everyone, if you do have a personal carry permit, I would recommend everyone carry. And if you don't have one, get one. That's my suggestion, because we're going to see more and more. Look what happened in Alexandria. Had the situation been different, had the two police officers with the security detail, the Scalise not been there, could have turned out a lot differently. I could tick off a number of situations where the outcome would have been different. So I do believe it's your responsibility. It's every American's responsibility if you are qualified, capable, and able to carry concealed weapon to do so. We have a great show lined up for you tonight. We do have Jack Posobiec coming on in the 8 to 8:30 hour, and then a very special treat, Steve Quayle. I got a phone call from him this morning. He's back from Peru. He's going to be coming on to discuss what he found in Peru and discuss the whole situation from 8:30 onward. And, of course, that's always very interesting. Apparently, and that was, when I was talking to Steve, apparently there were some mind-blowing things on this expedition. And it's quite interesting. So I can't wait for that. And, of course, Jack Posobiec. Don't forget, Jack was with Linda, with or Laura Loemer, when Laura had taken to the stage Shakespeare in New York last week, last Friday, I believe it was. So Jack's going to be weighing in on that and some other things. But these are just some of the headlines that we're looking at. Folks, I want to thank each and every one of you for your belief and your trust in us as we walk through this minefield of headlines together and as we continue forward in our growth. News, Seth Rich, of course, folks understand that there is, in my view anyway, there continues to be a significant, and I mean a very significant problem with the Seth Rich murder investigation. I do believe that that we need to keep our eyes on that. We need to keep our eyes on the DNC. Everything that was related to the DNC prior to the election, I think is important to keep our eyes on, as well as, oh, and the election, special elections yesterday is very interesting with respect to the outcome. It's interesting how the progressives, it's no big deal. Had the,
that was a huge deal before the,
of course,
on the run up to the election. Only after, you know, this latest defeat, just like the last few times, has it turned into a no big deal. Nancy Pelosi was the subject of Karen Handel's campaign, part of her campaign, her TV campaign, against Ossoff. Is that the name, Ossoff? And they compared...
Pajama Boy.
Yeah, they compared, in her ads, in the Republican ads, they compared... Ossoff and Pelosi, and she actually addressed the House minority today, and even some of the Democrats, I was reading some articles about it today, even some of the Democrats from those meetings stated how they could not believe the spin that Pelosi put on the loss after all the hype that they were hyping it up beforehand. And there's a great image circulating online. I don't know what you have to search to find it. I came across it once today, but there's a screenshot of the CNN and the pundits on there announcing that Ossoff lost the election. And their face, I mean, they all look like they just saw a ghost or were told that, you know, a loved one died. They look so sad and depressed, and I don't know. It's a pretty funny picture. But anyway, there was two special elections yesterday, one in Georgia, the 6th congressional district,
right,
and one in South Carolina. And the Republicans in both cases... One, no, I'm not so familiar with what was going on in South Carolina. I don't know how that slipped my attention. But it seems that the, I guess with, if you're talking about experience and credibility, it seems like the right candidate won. And I heard some interesting things on the, on both talk radio and the TV news today. And the media, in to some degree, is finally admitting that running their political campaigns on an anti-Trump platform is not the way to do it. They're not going to win any elections by doing that. Hopefully that they actually do take that and use it as advice and you know, implement it. And also they say that they don't stand up for anything. There's no hope and future for the American people. These people who are, you know, vehemently anti-Trump, and that's what their whole campaign's about. They have no message of hope, no message for solutions or how to make things better, and that the American voters... and the hard workers and voters don't want to hear any of that stuff. They just want to know that, you know, the economy is going to be taken care of and things are going to run smoothly and efficiently.
Right.
And it has nothing to do with who's in what office at this point. It's what are these people going to be able to do for the voters.
But I think that's always been that way.
Right.
Classically throughout my lifetime anyway. at that level, people have a feeling, what can I do about this? They're more concerned about their day-to-day lives, as we all are. Right. We're concerned about making enough money to pay the mortgage, to pay the rent, to pay the car payment, to have lunch money for your children or your grandchildren for school. The daily stresses of life. This is what we deal with, and I'm sure each and every one of you deal with this. So are we concerned about the larger aspects of things? No. I think, and so you're right to the point with respect to where the people, I believe, where the general public's concerns actually exist. And it's not at the top, but it's at the day-to-day kind of operation and work. You know, so, and that's where the big stresses are too. The healthcare bill, or the healthcare reform that's taking place, has people, has some people concerned on the left. Of course,
two days, I think, until they
right
bring it out or vote on it or whatever they're going to do.
And you know, the more I look at this, and Joe, I don't know what your research has come up with, but the more I look at this, the more I see this push toward a single payer system. And Peter Choka, who is a good friend of the show, he writes for American Thinker. He's written a number of great articles here over the last number of weeks. I believe we're going to have to bring him on, because I can see where there's going to be a push for a single payer system, which will just absolutely be the final nail in the coffin, I believe, for our economy, for our healthcare system, for our life, way of life, for many reasons. And the push for that final, or the single payer system by the progressives, by the socialists, by the communists in power, is incredible. People, and the brainwashing that has taken place about the single payer system, is just absolutely incredible. Go ahead, Joe.
I didn't want to really get into this, but I guess we should.
Why didn't you get into it?
I don't know. The story about the Otto Warmbier. He was 22-year-old in North Korea. The Huffington Post, we posted this on Hagman Report. Also, what you mentioned yesterday, it's going down. There's a story about that on Hagman Report, too, from Fox Insider.
Okay.
I read through a few of those stories today. That's pretty interesting. But the Huffington Post ran a piece about, it's titled, and again, this is on Hagman Report, North Korea prisoner deserved it because he's white. And it goes on talking about how the article in the Huffington Post on Wednesday with the op-ed titled North Korea Proves Your White mm-hmm. Male Privilege Is Not Universal.
Okay.
I didn't want to get into this, but I wanted to talk about this because the family refused an autopsy. That's what I really wanted to get into.
Okay.
I don't know. This is a case I've followed just at the reading headlines and
Do we know what caused the comatose state of...
He was beaten from what the... What the story is online and on the news is he was sentenced to 15 years hard labor in a North Korean prison for some very minor crime. I'm not even sure what it was, if it was, you know, having a poster or taking a picture.
Right.
But something happened and he was beaten and he came back in a coma, and a few days after he was returned back home, he passed away.
Right. I just didn't know if we're fully appreciative and understanding of the fact that he was beaten into this coma by the North Koreans as opposed to some underlying medical condition. And in this case, I might be a family member. I might be not really wanting an autopsy. I'm not big on autopsies, period.
I mean, what difference does it make? He went to North Korea. He was upright and healthy. He comes back in a coma. Obviously, they did something to him. Do you really need to get into the details if you're the family? Do you even want that after this long ordeal?
Well,
maybe
right.
not. I probably would, but...
Well, to what end? I mean, at the end of the day, to what end? And I think we have to kind of keep our eyes on that. Susan Rice, unmasking documents.
Yep.
The documents, they're being sealed in the Obama Presidential Library for the next 5 years. Records relating to former National Security Advisor Susan Rice, her surveillance of Americans, or the Obama regime surveillance of Americans, including the records pertaining to the presidential campaign of Donald Trump, and the transition officials have been sealed. That's right, sealed. Stamped and sealed at the Barack Obama Presidential Library in Kenya.
Yep, there's two stories on Hagman Report about this. One from Judicial Watch.
Come on. Didn't you get that? And I said in Kenya.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Never mind.
That you know, didn't trigger anything in my mind because it's not...
I know.
It's supposed to be a joke, but it's really...
I know. It's a poor one at that.
Kind of, so...
All right.
But yeah, Judicial Watch, shoes and rice unmasking material sent to Obama Library. So they won't be able to recover this material, what was it, for 5 years? When it's already re-archived through the...
That's right. That's right.
But it's allowed to go to the library.
Well,
all the hearing in the news is obstruction of justice this, obstruction of justice this. Is this obstruction of justice?
No.
Or is this just actually part of the...
Just to be clear, they're off limits. They're off limits from the public for the next 5 years under the Presidential Records Act. Now, whether or not they could be made available to investigators, Judicial Watch is looking into... They're actually investigating some aspects of this. That's a backstory, which I'm not sure if that's reported or not.
Okay. Either way, it's pretty interesting. To see that, and obviously we continue to hear about investigations into Donald Trump. One thing that's not being reported in the mainstream media, the State Department is investigating Hillary Clinton's use of her security clearance, which her security clearance, for some reason, she still has top level, her and her aides still have top level security clearance.
Yes.
I don't understand how or why. The second James Comey testified, whether there was intent or not, that she misused the classified material, her classification status should have been revoked, in my opinion. But it never was, and she still has it. So now the State Department is doing an internal investigation with the possibility for Hillary Clinton, the worst-case scenario, is her losing that security clearance.
Hmm.
But why does she continue to have it in the first place?
That's I think we need to ask these questions and continue on with these questions. Especially in the shadow of the special or independent special investigator Mueller, who, by the way, I just saw this. Mueller hires another, and people like to call him Mueller. I think that is done for a reason. I think that Mueller was
another Democratic donor, Hillary Clinton lawyer.
Yep.
You know, Clinton Foundation
special counsel. Yep.
Okay.
Elizabeth, who was it? Elizabeth Prelogar.
Second one to speak.
Yeah. She's a lawyer in the office of the Solicitor General, clerk for Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Kagan as well. And of course, has ties to the Clinton/Obama. She reportedly donated $250 to the Clinton campaign last fall, made a couple donations of the same amount to the Obama campaign and Victory Fund back in 2012. Now, why is this important? Well, the special counsel is supposed to be, of course, above reproach and independent of any political persuasion. This, of course, shows that that's not the case. And I think any Washington D.C. attorney, law firm, or whatever is going to have some sort of loyalty or some sort of connection to the political arena. And so, it would be most beneficial to go outside of that circle of sewage. But this is not the case, and I do believe that this is by design. I think what we're seeing here is a way to really tank the presidency and the president. Obviously, people are not the progressives want Donald Trump out of office. They'll even take a Mike Pence presidency, which just kind of makes me wonder.
I don't know about that.
Mike Pence.
I mean, they'd take it over Trump.
Exactly. Exactly.
But as soon as that happened, they would be looking to remove him as well.
But you're talking about obstruction. This is exactly what they're doing. The level of obstruction by the progressives against Donald Trump, his objectives, and everything that you and I stand for is taking place at record speeds. And there's no president in American history. If you look back at the various administrations, and even go back post Civil War, even go back to Grant, even, okay, you look at the, and of course there are different circumstances, different environment, but the amount of interference. I don't know what else to call it, or sabotage even against a presidential administration has never been as powerful and as organized as this. Hillary Clinton is leading in this case from a covert position. Podesta, you got Podesta, you got the Podesta brothers, you got Clinton, and all of the PACs that are associated with the Clintons and the Podestas. Understand that you've got the media, as we've talked about before, the media especially is running interference for the very people, for the deep state, the very people trying to take down the presidency and kill the presidency. You've got just numerous, you've got the, as I had mentioned before, what comprises the deep state. You get the media, you got the Never Trumpers. Don't forget, the Never Trumpers are an important part of this. And I'm talking about the Republican side. I'm talking about the Republicans, Never Trumpers, that are working against the conservatives, and especially the conservative caucus, the, of course, the targets of the Alexandria, Virginia shooter, interestingly enough. But the infighting within Congress has never been worse. And it was funny to see the CBS poll yesterday that was used. We were talking about the special elections in South Carolina and Georgia, and how the corporate media framed this. Well, Donald Trump, his approval rating is 36%. That's according to a CBS poll. So don't expect these states, don't expect the Republicans to win or the conservatives to win in South Carolina or Georgia. And then immediately after, and I mean immediately after they won, you had Lawrence O'Donnell on and you had Brian Williams and other people on making excuses for the win and saying, well, you know what, really, as you pointed out, it really doesn't matter. It was a special election and it doesn't signify anything. But 12 hours previous, much different story. And this brings me to another issue, another matter, and I just want to point this out on my personal Twitter feed, Hagman. It's at Hagman PI, and I might have posted this to Hagman Report Twitter feed. Take a look at, I don't know, a few days, so maybe a week ago now. There's a picture, Joan, I know you've seen this. There's a picture, I believe, of the Wall Street Journal, the same day, the same edition number, but the, in the same picture on the front, but with a different headline, with an entirely different, meaning. In other words, the headline in one was suggestive of something different than the headline in the other. And of course, the Wall Street Journal came out and said, well, this is because of the territorial differences or geographical differences. Not quite. So I just would urge everyone to find that photograph. And as a matter of fact, if I can find it, I'll post it on the Hagman Report, because I think it's an interesting visual of how we are being massaged and duped by the corporate media, whether it's the print media, the television media, or the audio. It's just amazing. It really is. Go ahead.
Well, we only got a few minutes left until the top of the hour break. Again, interesting, sad, what happened in Michigan. Terror attack in the Michigan airport. Tunisian knifeman with a hatred of the United States wounds cop by repeatedly stabbing him in the neck with a 12-inch blade while shouting Allah Akbar. I don't know how that cop lived.
That happened Flint airport, Bishop Airport in Flint. By the way, we have family up in Flint, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been there, and yeah, Lieutenant Jeff Neville, who should recover from his injuries, but and how they're gonna, this 50-year-old guy is Canadian, but it was from Tunisia. So
he's an insurance agent here in the U.S., which is, he's got a career or whatever,
right?
And they're planning to charge Fatoui, I think his name is Fatoui, Fatoui, with violence at an international airport, which carries a penalty of up to 20 years in prison. Hopefully they charge him with the attempted murder of a police officer too. And, you know, he'll have to stay in jail forever. But he was apparently,
It's gonna be more. That's gonna you're gonna see more and more of this.
The FBI said that the hatred of the U.S. and he traveled from the U.S. to Canada, where he apparently worked as an insurance agent, and they are investigating this incident of the stabbing as an act of terrorism. Obviously, we know the motives. I was going to say, what makes a 50-year-old man snap and do that this then when he has a job and a career?
Well, that's a good question, though. Why now? Why that day?
Right.
As opposed to a week from tomorrow.
And apparently, he was yelling some things about Syria, Iraq, and Afghanistan after the stabbing. So we can imagine it is terrorism. And speaking of terrorism, one thing I saw today on the Daily Caller, we mentioned this on air yesterday, the FBI's assessment of the shooter last Wednesday shooter of Scalise came out.
Right.
They said it was not an act of terrorism. It was an assault. But if you look at the definition of terrorism, I think this fits pretty well. At the same time, you can argue he wasn't trying to change anything. He'd reach his end and was trying to just kill as many lawmakers as possible. But yeah, they're saying it's not terrorism. It was an assault. They confirmed that there was a note with a list of
six names.
Kill list on his person, not in the van, and they did not speculate as to motive in the FBI's report. So that leaves a lot to be leaves me with some questions.
Well, I think any reasonable human being could certainly without much speculation, I think any reasonable human being could identify the motive.
Oh, absolutely. All right, folks, we are up against our break. We will be right back after these short messages. Don't go anywhere.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced. Blue Wink Reviews boldly states, fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Perata's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
Uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable for the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA. Go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
We'll be right back.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Yeah, folks, keep your prayers up for this police officer in Flint, Michigan, Lieutenant Jeffrey Neville, who was attacked by a Muslim jihadist. There's a whole lot of apologetics for this kind of, for the Muslims. I want to say this by Christians, and to me, this is where we're headed if we continue as Christians and as conservatives to color the truth, or to, I want to say, polish a something. Okay, you can't polish. You know what I'm talking about? That old phrase. To me. As Joe and I have interviewed people like IQ El Razuli and others, who former Muslims who have left Islam but know the Quran, know the Hadith, know the Surah, Randall Terry, an expert in Islam, who does nothing but use the Quran itself as the source material for the education of non-Muslims and Muslims alike. Folks, we have to be honest, and I think that there are so many disingenuous people. The level of this bloodlust that ultimately is bloodlust, I believe. But this desire to coexist when coexistence is not possible, especially for Orthodox faith, when you follow the orthodoxy of the Islamic faith, folks, we cannot coexist. And this is not a call to arms or anything like that. I'm just saying you cannot coexist. And the Christians, especially the ministers, the pastors, I believe have a duty and a responsibility to present this to their flocks, their congregations, to advise them of the fight of what we're up against, and truly, and I said this back when I was on a program in Canada on the CBC. This is probably 12 years ago. I said we are engaged in a battle between good and evil, and I really believe that to be the case. So, in the end. And there's so much deception with that. Joe, are we good to go? I know we're having some issues.
We have Robert Griswold of Ready Made Resources with us now. Something was up with our Skype connection, so he's coming on with a landline. But Mr. Griswold, welcome back to the show.
It's always a pleasure to be here. And Mr. Hagman, I tell you, having traveled to every country in the Middle East and even Eastern Asia, countries like Pakistan and North Africa, I have seen it firsthand, and we have a 1,400-year struggle that we've faced with Islam. It has never relented. It has been probably one of the most murderous cults that has ever existed. Some estimates go as high as 650 million, but it's estimated between 270 million and 450 million people have lost their lives to Islam. The African nations suffered gravely with slavery. 110, 150 million Africans were taken slave by Islam. And the males in that were almost immediately castrated. Up to 80% of them died. These are historical facts that we can go back and look at and see. And so the question, I agree with you, is how can you coexist with somebody who has never renounced that type of behavior? In fact, if you listen to their imams today, many of them promote that exact same thing, the slavery, the sex slavery, the domination, world domination of Islam over all other faiths. And we are in a war. My two best friends in the world are law enforcement. And I was talking to one of them today, and you know, he realizes one of his brothers was stabbed, and you know, just it's just another case of this unending battle. And until we stand up and say no more, yeah, unfortunately, it's going to continue, and the violence will escalate. Neville Chamberlain taught us appeasement does not work.
Folks, Robert Griswold and Bob, Mr. Griswold, you're exactly correct. And folks, I want to speak to you for a second. Robert Griswold, Ready Made Resources. Okay. We have a relationship, a professional relationship with Mr. Griswold. The reason being, and listen, please listen to, and understand this. Out of all the companies out there, Mr. Griswold understands the problem and the solution. He understands that this is a well-traveled, well-experienced, well-educated man. He is he built his company on experience, but also by anticipating your needs, my needs, our collective and individual needs. And this is why, we have had companies, and I've got to tell you, Mr. Griswold and ladies and gentlemen, we've had companies come to us and say, can we be your ask for exclusivity, with your show, and we'll pay you a bunch of money. No, we go for, we make the relationship with Mr. Griswold, or have the relationship with Mr. Griswold, because of his experience, his knowledge of both the problem and the solution. This man is the key here. And this is why, we're so grateful to have him. And we're so grateful to be able to click on the one link to his website and to find solutions to our problems. And that's what I just want to say. And I apologize for taking your time up, but I think people should know the backstory and know how important our business relationship is, because this is a life and death struggle. And, thank you. But go ahead.
Well, you know, I appreciate the words very much. I do. I'm a student of Adam Smith, The Wealth of Nations. This is how I provide for my family, is running ready-made resources. I've done a lot of things in life that I was paid very well to do, but this is my passion. I have to tell you, as a student of history, an amateur student of history, I understand where this is going. In fact, I was just rereading the book, The Fourth Turning, and there's a quote in there I wanted to just mention. It says this, it comes out of The Fourth Turning. If you haven't read the book, it's a great book to read. It says, history is seasonal, and a winter is coming. The very survival of the nation will feel at stake. Sometime before the year 2025, America will pass through the great gate in history, a great gate in history, one commensurate with the American Revolution and the Civil War, and twin emergencies of the Great Depression and World War II. The risk of catastrophe will be high. The nation could erupt into insurrection or civil violence, crack up it geographically, or succumb to authoritarian rule. And the first thing I think about when I read that is Deagle. I mean, you know, Deagle's predicting that. But what you have here is you have an 1860 moment, the Civil War, American Revolution. The American Revolution was basically a type of civil war. And you have that civil war. At the same time, you have World War II, a global war threatening. You have a civil war and global war threatening. And on top of it, you're going to have a financial depression. That is a toxic cocktail of things. You know, we see the left today. They are prepping. They are actually preparing because they know what's coming. And I think it really behooves us to come to the understanding that Donald Trump, and this is where I totally agree with Steve Quayle, Donald Trump's, I think, was put in that office for one thing, maybe more, but one thing, and that was to shine a light on the absolute corruption before God brings judgment on America. We are seeing exposure after exposure after exposure of just blatant corruption. The murder of Seth Rich, it goes unpunished. Nobody cares. Some people care, but I mean, it just doesn't get the traction. Nobody's going to be brought to trial or accountability for a murder that everyone knows wasn't accidental. It was deliberate. So we're at a place in our country where I agree with the writers of The Fourth Turning. We are headed towards a winter. We're headed towards the destruction period. And, you know, we have to ask ourselves the question, who do we want to regain control after this reset goes on? Do we want the people that foster this to maintain power? Or do we want people who understand the nature of freedom and liberty, who want to extol human virtue, biblical values? Do we want them to be the ones that say, this is the way we're going to proceed from here? I mean, I, for one, want the latter. And so, you know, what do we do to survive what is coming? Because, you know, I do believe the nation could break into insurrection, civil violence, crack up geographically. It could succumb to authoritarian rule. And so at that point, we have to ask ourselves, what do we do? You know, it's good. It's something to come on this program and to talk and to maybe generate apprehension in people. Some people call it fear. Believe me, I've been in places, fear keeps you alive. I can tell you, it keeps you alive. And I can't go into too many details, but I've been in places I knew if I made the wrong decision, I would have never come home. So if you feel this trepidation, if you feel this fear in your heart or of things coming or just an unrest, there's two ways you can go with it. You can deny that fear and just try to ignore it, which most of America does these days, or you can do as Noah. And as it says in the Bible, Noah moved with a holy fear. See, that's a good fear. A holy fear is a good fear because it's based on reality. It's based on, you know, history and biblical values, biblical truth. When it's based on that, then you can operate and move on that fear and do something constructive. So it's not just enough to say, let's get people worried about these things. The goal of all of us is to say, how do we weather this storm? How do we position ourselves in such a way as to weather this storm? And I think that's what we need to be discussing and going into. What can the average person do to see this storm, which I think it's going to be pretty devastating? I think it's going to undermine a lot of this nation, and I hate to say it, I think a lot of people will not make it through the other end of it. But what can we do for good people, people that understand those values, to say, I want to come through the other end of this, and I want to be the ones that set the new stage for my posterity? You know, the founders realized that if they won the war, they were going to be bankrupt. If they won the war, they were going to face years of decades of hardship. But they didn't do it for themselves. They did it for their posterity. And so that's the burden I have. I'm 61 years old. I've lived a very good life. I've done a lot of things in life. But now as I reflect, as I enter older age, I want to look at the younger generation and say, I want to give them the same thing. Let's pass this on. Let's don't let it go into extinction. Let's don't go into, you know, 500 years of dark ages. Let's take this light that we have. Let's overcome these obstacles. Let's go through the difficult times, the reset, and let's come out the other end and be the victors in it.
And that's why I have so much respect for Robert Griswold, ready-made resources, for that reason, for the reasons he just stated. Thinking not just about yourself, thinking ahead, thinking about your children and the future of your family and your loved ones, the future of your country. And that's from the heart. Thank you, Mr.
Thank
Griswold.
You.
Thank you.
I think there are millions of people out there, and that's why these programs are so important with you guys. They gravitate because they are looking for something they can hold on to. Say, we don't lack motivation. We don't even lack the understanding of what's going on. We lack a central rallying point where we can get around people of like mind and draw strength from each other and say, this is how we proceed, this is how we go on. Again, the left is starting to understand that. I mean, we see these leftist groups training, buying food, buying ammunition, training with guns and so forth. And we really need to take that cue and really do it one beyond that and make sure that when these things happen, we can definitely network with people of like mind. That is going to be the key issue, is being able to network with people who are of like mind. There's not going to be any Rambos out here that do it all by themselves. You're going to need your neighbors, your friends. You're going to need your church members. You're going to need all these people that you can network together, come together, and supply each other's needs. And I think with that said, that, you know, there's I wanted to share with you just a story that happened to me over the weekend and segue it into a need I think is overlooked in the prepper community many, many times, and that is communication. This weekend, I'm a ham radio operator, Kilo Mike 4, mm-hmm. India Echo, Quebec is my call sign. My son is Kilo Mike 4, Juliet Hotel. We were what's called sagging for a bike race, the Chiricahua Challenge. And that's a 112-mile bike race through the mountains of eastern Tennessee, up to 6,000 feet and so forth. Well, during that race, we set up our Sweetwater Tennessee Ham Radio Club as the people who monitor the race. We're the official monitors of the race. So in case a biker gets in trouble or needs water or mechanical repair or whatever, we're there. We drive. I'm in a truck, and I drive to them and assist them. Well, as I was driving up the mountain at about 4,000 feet, I come across this gentleman just laying on his back. He was riding a horse up there, and he fell off, and I mean, landed squarely on the back of his head. It was not good. It was a big blood stain on the road. He had a bad concussion. There were some motorcycle people there. Cell phones didn't work at 4,000 feet.
Sure.
So with the ham radio, we were able to call down to our base station. They relayed the message. They got the ambulances up there. LifeStar came in and got him hauled him out. His lady friend that was with him didn't have a way to contact her family. We relayed her phone numbers down to her base station. They called her family, got her family up there. And my point in this is that there's coming a time in America when they're going to turn the cell phones and internet off. That's going to happen. We've seen it happen in parts where it's been shut down for a couple hours or a day. And pandemonium chaos breaks out very quickly when you cannot get in touch with the people that you need to get in touch with. There is nothing more important than communication. You know, I know the you've interviewed John Lovell. He was over here this weekend, or last weekend, when we were doing a little class with him. And, you know, his motto as a Ranger was shoot, move, communicate. And that communication, he said, is so, so important. But a lot of times we overlook it as something because we might be afraid of the technology of it or whatever. We don't do it. And so what I'm going to encourage people to do tonight is to look into getting their ham radio license. And I want to differentiate between the radios you'll buy at a department store and ham radio. We're talking completely two different things. The radios you buy at a store, because radios work on line of sight, you might get half a mile to a mile out of those radios. Don't worry what the box says. It might say 30 miles. You won't get 30 miles out of them. I've done it too many times. You won't. Ham radio, on the other hand, is the thing that it's going to allow you, if used properly, to influence in your area of operations, let's just say out to maybe 100 miles, 70 miles, 60 miles, but maybe out to 100 miles. When you have a catastrophe, anybody within that area, you're going to be able to communicate with them, just as we did on that mountain. And it wasn't only me, so there was a whole network of people involved. The people down below had to call and take care of things. Some other ham radio operators came in and started directing traffic, all because we were able to communicate. And so I just want to encourage people to look into getting their ham radio license. I'm more than glad to help them, because I know as you get this aspect of prepping taken care of in your life, everybody around you, just as that man, was benefited by the experience of people having gotten their radio license. That man had nothing to do with radio, but I would dare say it probably saved his life. Because if not, it would have taken half an hour, 45 minutes to drive off the mountain, to get the ambulance, half an hour, 45 minutes to get back up there. And this man was definitely slipping into, he was going unconscious, and we were doing everything we could to keep him conscious. So, and instead of that, it took about 30 minutes to get him out of there. LifeStar came in and pulled him out, and he was in the hospital before the ambulance would have gotten there if we had to do it another way. So just think of this in a scenario where the grid goes down or the communication go down, and you need to talk to your friends, your family. You don't know where your family's at. You know, your wife might be at the mall, she might be at school, your children might be at school, whatever. And then you have the ability to orchestrate a plan because you have this base covered. So this is what I really promote with people. Two things. A lot of people have the food covered. A lot of people have the water covered. But they fear the technology, which is not that hard to get your ham radio license. And I want to state this. There's a lot of people out there that say, I'm not going to get the license. I'm just going to buy the radios, and when the hits the fan, I'm going to use them. I'm going to tell you, no, you won't. Today's radios are getting too complicated for you to probably figure it out on the fly. You're not going to do it. Plus, I belong to the Monroe County Amateur Radio Club. I would say in our club we have 100 years of collective communication experience in the people that go there. If I have questions and answers, they can solve my radio questions generally in an hour, where it might take me 2 or 3 days of research. So there's a tremendous collective of information in these ham radio clubs, and like probably everybody in the country has one close enough they could go to and become a member of. And so I would encourage that. We've actually put together a little package we can talk about later, but for people who are interested in doing this, that'll give you two ham radios, all the things that you'll need to be able to talk to you, your spouse. You can always add more to it, but it is one thing I just wanted to touch because it's a passion. Communication will be essential. You can have all the food you have. You can have all the water you have. But if you can't contact people for help, support, whatever you're going to need, you're going to find yourself, you're going to be a victim pretty quickly.
You're talking to a guy, by the way, that I don't have a cell phone except when I go on the road or out of town. My wife says, here, take this. And I look at it and I go, okay. And
praise
I do
you.
Know.
That's good.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I don't. So at least, I mean, if there was an accident or something, I can certainly, I know how to turn it on and get the numbers to show up and, you know, but having said that, and this is weird. Okay. Because I I know the importance of communications, and I've always wanted to really understand and get familiar with ham radio operation. By the way, two things, three questions in rapid succession. How long does it take to get your license? How much is a license fee? And do I need to erect like a 50-foot antenna in my backyard?
Okay, to answer your questions, we actually, in the package we sell, we actually, there's a course in there that's an online course. It's called hamradiolicenseonline.com. You go through there. It's a preparatory class. For me, it was the best thing I found. You can't take your license, your test online, but you can go through and take this preparatory course, which actually has generated simulated tests. So you can go in there and take a simulated test as many times as you want to before you go and take the real test. The real test has to be administered locally. And like I said, if you go online, anybody goes online, and let's just say you live in Brown County, Kentucky. I don't know if there is such a thing, but let's say you live there. You go on the internet, type in Brown County, Kentucky Amateur Radio Club. You're gonna find the amateur radio club in your area. You would contact them. They would tell you when they would administer the test. It took me 2 weeks to prepare for the test, and I passed it. My son was 12 years old at the time. All he knew is you turn the button on and push the thing, and you can talk through it. He kind of brute forced the test. He just went through and kind of memorized a lot of the answers, but because it is a multiple guess, and he passed it at 12 years old, became the youngest ham radio operator in Monroe County at the time. So I hope that answers that question. The fee to take the test is they charge us $10 each to take the test, and so that's not going to be a break the bank in most people's cases. To get set up with ham radio, there are different avenues or different levels that you can use ham radio. Most people, for local communication, I would say out to about 100 miles, are going to use what are considered UHF, VHF radios. They look like the kind you'd buy down at, you know, the department store. The same, but the frequencies are different. And here's where the big changes start coming. First, those handhelds you buy at the department store, a limited amount of frequencies, you're going to quickly find out that people are overwhelming those because so many people are going to try to use those frequencies. You're not going to be able to get your communication through. When there's an emergency, everybody's going to have the same idea. Pick them up and use those. And, you know, if you have other people in your area trying to use them, you're going to be talking over each other, especially in a larger city.
Mr. Griswold. I just want to give you a heads up here. It's 7:53. We got about 2.5 minutes before the break.
3 minutes, yeah.
Want to make sure that
quickly. I can change the antenna, put a bigger antenna on a ham radio, and go that way. We put together a radio package. You get two radios, two ham radios, two throat mics. And a lot of times if you're out and you don't want to hear people talking, it's a throat mic with an earbud. That clips in so you can be secure in your communications if you're out walking around and don't want everybody else to hear what you're talking about. Two larger antennas, two extra batteries, two car chargers. It comes with a course, the repeater handbook, and it's less than $500. And so I'd be glad after the program to talk with people about this. But those are some of the things that you can do. And again, just encouraging that because it is absolutely essential for what is coming. I'll stay here during the whole show. I want to listen to Steve Quayle anyhow. He's my friend. I want to listen to him. But if they want to call me at 800-627-3809, or they can go online and go to the website. Once they enter the website, on the left-hand side, they'll see the search bar. Just type in Hagman Special. That package will come up. If they type in Hagman Special, that will come up. And I'm actually throwing in a free, what's called a programming cable that allows you to actually program the radios right off your computer. Makes it much easier than punching all those little buttons and learning the menus. So, again, if people have questions on communication, I'll be glad to stay here as long as the phone rings and help them out with it. Call me tomorrow. It is an essential thing. If you do not have communication, I can promise you, you're not going to fare this event that's coming well. You will not do it. It is critical.
Man. What a great offer. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much for putting this and for being there to answer questions. And this does separate you from everyone else. I mean,
Robert, we have a listener question. This is from Ken. He asks, looking into his ham radios, your ham radios, will they work after an EMP?
Yes, if you go, actually, there's a company called Solark, Sol-ARK. They make, we sell their products. They make a EMP, CME, resistant solar energy system. They've actually have a video you can go watch where they set up an EMP cage and zap these radios and zap cell phones because the circuitry in them is so small. they generally will work after an EMP. The caveat with that is if you plug it in charging it, then you've connected that cell phone or that radio to 1,000 miles of wire going back to the transmission station, and then it'll burn up. Generally it is, if they need to, they can get an EMP bag, put them in an EMP bag and store them that way, but the key is learn to use them now. You're not going to learn to use them in an emergency. Under stress, you're not going to do this. And so the person who wants to buy the radios and not train with them, I would tell you, you're wasting your money. Buy the radios, train with it, get your ham radio license, ask questions. Again, there's probably 100 years of collective radio experience at your local ham radio club, and they're more than glad to help people to get their amateur radio license.
And you can't go wrong, when you talk about the importance of communication, especially in times of natural disasters or societal breakdowns. You know, besides food and water, there really isn't anything more important. You can accomplish a lot more with the types of communication Robert Griswold was talking about.
Yeah, exactly. And Joe, the reason I mentioned, and Mr. Griswold, the reason I mentioned about me being not really working with cell phone is because I still think communications is the key. And the ham radio will be that item that's going to separate us or the people that survive from those who don't. It's one of the items anyway.
You're going to need to network. You're going to need to be able to influence the people in your area of operation. And as John Lovell said, as a ranger, shoot, move, communicate. You can't do it without communication.
Right. Absolutely right. Robert Griswold, Ready Made Resources is the website, readymaderesources.com. Thank you so much for joining us. We will be
God
right
bless.
Back after this break.
God bless, man.